If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone, and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
This is Matt Rogers from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try a new food and suddenly it's like, okay, hold on, I got a new favorite food.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try Kewpie Mayo.
Yeah, it's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it at the grocery store.
And this mayo is different.
Mm-hmm. Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. Kewpie only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything. Egg sandwiches, fries, burgers.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
Kewpie, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
Hello, everyone, and happy September. We've got another episode of Never Been a Better Podcast in place of our normal podcast this week while we're on break. Never Been a Better Podcast features a rotating crew of Austin Walker, Jeff Bacalar, Dan Reichert, and Abby Russell as they join me and Alex each month over on the Patreon side of things. This episode originally aired in May of 2023 and features the full house. That's right, Abby, Dan, Austin, and Bacalar all join us, so let's celebrate this special and rare occurrence. This episode also has been slightly edited to include ad breaks. If you want to hear more Never Been a Better Podcast, you can head over to patreon.com/nextlander, where you'll find all the episodes and more. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll be back with the regular Nextlander podcast next week.
And then it went like...
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Never Been a Better Podcast. Never Been a Bigger Podcast. We're here. We got the full house. Full house. Alex Navarro.
See, we're not saying it's the biggest podcast, but just that it is the same size as the other biggest podcasts we've done before.
The largest. The roomiest.
This is the mech. This is the ceiling height.
Let's start. Let's go around the horn here. Jeff Bacalar is here.
Hey, what's up?
Yep, that's Jeff Bacalar.
All right.
That's the famous show. That's his line. Austin Walker's here.
How you doing?
That's Austin's line. Yep.
How you doing? That's classic.
How you doing?
How you doing?
Yeah. Abby Russell's here.
What's up, gamers?
That is so Abby Russell.
I tried to swoop, but I swiped. You know what I mean?
And then Dan Reichert's here.
I don't have a line, do I?
That is so classic. What would my line be?
Oh my god, he's killing it right now.
It's like
all the classics.
How do I prove it's not a soundboard? What would Dan Reichert's line be? Dan, your line
would be, "Hey now."
It's Dan Reichert.
Act like you're somebody.
Jeffrey Tambor on the Larry Sanders Show.
That's probably where I'm pulling that from. I didn't even realize.
You say something, shoot work. That's your.
You sound like an
line.
Idiot, Bacalar.
Wow.
That's the line.
Yeah. We finally
Bring
got it out of him.
Wrestling jargon out of this internet show.
I know.
The people are going to hate that, Jeff.
When you look in the mirror, all you see is the thing you hate, right?
I'm happy with myself.
I don't.
Oh my god. That's like the saddest, the proudest, but most sad thing I think I've ever heard somebody say. Just like something you say after you're like walking out of a party where you just got like kicked out. You're just like, well, I'm happy. I'm happy with myself.
I don't care what they
you
think.
You shit in her birthday cake. Well, I'm happy with myself. Well,
I'm just being real, bro.
No regrets.
I'm glad I did. Everybody's doing all right?
Yeah.
We're here recording on a Wednesday. Haven't seen some of you in quite a bit. I hope everybody's doing well. Bacalar, start with you. You're up there on my screen. You're in the center. How's everything going?
Everything's good, you guys. You know,
you
I had
guilty.
A birthday. Yeah, no, I got away with it. It's all good.
Okay.
I'm happy with myself.
I had a birthday since the last time I was on the show, I think.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of the last birthday that most of you were at.
Uh-huh. Who wasn't invited?
You weren't in this time zone.
Yeah.
You were invited. Alex couldn't make it, I think.
Right? That was the one you had in Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I was there. I did make that.
Yeah, you were there, Austin. Yeah. Austin, you were there.
Yeah.
And Vinny and Dan.
Uh-huh.
What's up, Austin?
I'm remembering a thing that... Can I say a thing?
Yeah.
That Dan did?
That's what this podcast
that
is
you know me. Trollish, the most
is it
trollish
about the pee?
Thing.
No, he wasn't no? there for that. I'm getting
the
to
pee?
That.
What's the pee?
Yeah, oh, wait. No, I thought you were talking about the pee thing. What did I do?
No, it's that a giant bomb-related thing.
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Dan
sure.
Dan spent that whole party. So there are a lot of games journalists there. And Dan spent that whole party being like, "You know, guys, I think I'm going to get out of the WWE. I think I'm what's it like in games journalism these days? Who's hiring people? What sort of stuff is happening in games journalism these days?" Meanwhile, 3 weeks later or whatever the fuck,
I think you it was come out of a, I don't think anything was locked in. I don't think anything was in motion.
Okay. All I know is I turned on my computer a month later and someone did a seance to get you back. And I know how long it takes to make videos. I don't know anything. I don't know.
That did come to that shoot came together real quick. It did.
Wait, the shoot or the work?
The work.
Yeah, exactly. Fair question, Vincent. Fair question.
No, I was very much on my way out of WWE at that point.
True.
And very much thinking, well, where else would I go? It's pretty obvious. So,
I thought
it
was pretty obvious. Anyway.
I was curious.
Get to the piece.
So, Vinny and Dan were on this party bus that my lovely wife rented for us to go back and forth.
It was awesome.
And
I can't believe I missed this birthday party.
Oh, it was so good.
I missed it.
It had the best party favor I think I've ever gotten as a Jersey boy.
What was it?
The
caramel popcorn that you can only really get in Ocean City, New Jersey. Like, it's a particular type. I forget the company name. What's the company?
Johnson's.
Johnson's. Oh, what a gift. Thank you.
Send me an invite next time, Bacalar. I'll use some of my airline points, maybe.
All right. Yes. My bad, Abby. I'm sorry you weren't there.
Thank you. Carry on with your story.
I forgot how uniquely appreciative you could be for that party gift, Austin, because of your history there.
It's childhood. You know what I mean? Like, it's a particular type. It's like the only thing better you could have done is brought me Mac and Manco pizza. You know what I mean?
Oh, you know what?
Come on.
I hope forces conspire that somehow find you and I both at the Ocean City Boardwalk together one day in our future.
You know, the funniest thing is we're adults with income. We could make it just happen.
I go every year. I go every year.
Yeah. Yeah. We could just do it. We could hang up right now and be
call my mom and tell her you just want to come over for a little bit and schedule a thing. She'll schedule a thing.
Yeah. I got a kid who plays ice hockey and soccer now on the weekend, so it's a little dicier.
Yeah.
But yes, we go every summer. We'll figure it out.
They got soccer down there. Just get the ball.
I'm sure
we'll
they
do. I'm just at a court. You don't, it's not court. In a field.
Pitch.
Court? Yeah, no.
So, on the party bus back, we were drinking on the bus, great deal, and as it happens, I had to pee real bad.
Oh, yeah,
like,
I remember
the kind of piss that you're sort of, like, scared that a bump in the road is going to spring a leak, right? Mm-hmm. Like, where you're just sort of like, huh, this feels terrible. And everyone's on the bus laughing and cracking jokes. And Dan becomes hip to the fact that I have to pee. And he just starts, with two fingers jabbing me in the side, like some psycho,
awful
friend person.
Demented, okay? Objectively funny.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Notice the universal agreement of how bad it is. Okay?
Hang on. So he had to run out and pee behind his house. Here's him. I got pictures of the man sheepishly coming out from the side of his house after having to pee on his own house.
You got piss picks?
That's just a good time, right?
Yeah,
there.
Here's the thing. I bring this story up because it is a year removed from the piss incident, or it was, as we call the piss it in.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. And there's a new video. There's a new angle that has been released a year later.
Of you pissing?
Zapruder.
My buddy Mike, who was filming from inside the bus, watching me run up the hill to my house to pee on the side. Couldn't even enter my home, right? Because I only go in through the garage door, and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to wait for this garage door to open.
Go going through the garage door.
That's just how it works in suburbia. That's how
it's like
suburbia.
A shoes thing. You don't want to get like footprints on the carpet. What do you mean?
Because
no?
I don't have keys on me. It's all remote.
Okay, no, that's not how suburbia works. I have gone to a number of open houses over the last several months, and every single one of those houses has a front door you can walk through.
That's what they do for the open house.
Open house.
They seal it shut the second you sign those papers.
It's your house. They brick it up. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Bacalar has to text his car that'll open up the garage. Garage door and ask for permission to come into his robot house.
It's all voice controlled, Dan. I'm a little more advanced than that.
But the car actually has a little, like, has to drive up and a little arm comes out and, like, unlocks it and puts it back in. And then
it's in a bathrobe.
Yes.
Why was your friend sitting on this footage for a year? What was he doing with it?
No, he didn't, like, there wasn't anything nefarious. He, you know, he had one of those, like, time hop things in his phone, and it was like, hey, a year ago you took this video. He didn't share it or anything, but he texted me. He was like, oh my God, I forgot I have this video, and he sent it to me on my birthday this year.
Right. As a present.
And I said, sure, a little time keep, a little...
Remember when you could piss like a horse? Look at that, time just destroys all things, huh?
It's crazy. Anyway, I have to share it with you guys
Please,
who were there. Would really appreciate it.
I would really want to see that video. It's a thing I really would want to see.
You don't see me pissing. You see me, like, hobbling up a hill. And the best is the commentary of everyone on the bus calling me.
He's going to pee on his house.
Just like, look at this dumb bitch. Like, it's great. At my expense.
Really, it's a terrific friend group you've got there.
Yes, totally.
I mean,
totally.
My dad shit his pants. I mean, he got off easy back
then. When?
Wait.
In New Orleans.
On birthday?
His 50th birthday in New Orleans. I made him shit his pants.
Oh, my God.
Wait,
this is a pattern.
Did you poke him outside?
I was being really goofy, and I was doing like a silly little dance to embarrass him, and he started laughing, and he was, Darren, you have to fucking stop, or I'm going to shit my pants. And as soon as he said that, I was like, well, I'm just going to get way stupider here. And I started like, we're like in a hotel lobby, and I'm just trying to embarrass him. Just like, I'm going to poopy my panties, and just being a toy. And he just sat on a bench, resigned, and like just shit his pants. I have a picture of the man sitting on a bench shitting his pants.
It comes up on my phone every year.
It's a reminder.
Get reminded.
Oh, yeah. Shit,
so Bacalar got off easy.
Yeah.
Of all the things you have told me, Dan, for some reason, this is the one I wish I could erase fastest, from my head. I wish I did not know this.
We were at the hotel. He was able to change quickly. But
okay, did he go upstairs and change?
Yeah, there's a part of that story that I've never told publicly that's way grosser. And
then let's just end it here.
Let's keep it like that.
I want to know.
It involved me having to...
Text it to me.
That's a shoot Abby a message.
Next
later.
Time I see Abby, ask about his poop pants.
But be careful, because if he starts doing a little dance, he's trying to get you to shit yourself.
Be careful.
Don't worry, I have a steel trap down there.
Without you saying it, the thing, can I just kind of guess where it went? And you say, yes, it's along those lines.
Is it on the floor?
We'll do a warmer. Yeah, okay, sure.
So, like, is it a thing that, like, later on the soiled garments came into play in a way that would be disgusting and gross? Like, after,
he
like,
would have
back.
Been embarrassed if his soiled garments were seen by someone.
Like, housekeeping?
What if he had a friend
come into the area, and I was in the room, and I needed to hide some evidence?
It sucks.
You smoked weed out of his underwear?
You had to hide his doo-doo pants? I'm confused.
I'm not going into more detail.
No.
I literally was writing a book once, and I messaged my dad being like, can I include this in a chapter? And he's like, no.
Okay.
Like, you can't do this.
Shouldn't.
And so I can't go into any more details.
That's the one boundary
keep
he has.
It secret, keep it safe.
No, there's a lot I haven't said about my dad.
Somewhere in a Red Roof Inn, there's a pair of soiled undies and an air vent.
It was a Comptera's casino room, so
okay.
I love the idea that Dan's dad wears undies.
Undies.
Yeah, well, for sure.
Okay, this is something I know I can say this because we've said it and argued on podcasts before about this.
I can't
he
wait.
He has this thing where, I think it was at a family Thanksgiving. We're all sitting around with his sisters and the cousins and everything.
Yeah.
And he brought up this thing about how like, was like, I mean, we all get skid marks all the time in our underpants. And we're all like, what? And he's like, well, yeah, I mean, like, you know, you get skid marks all the time. Like, we all do. We just don't. We don't talk about it. It's like, let's just, like, why are we lying? Like, we always have skid marks. And then
why are we lying?
Sister,
when is it coming up?
Yeah. His sister's like, Paul, you're saying you still get skid marks? And he's like, oh, don't act like you don't. And she was like, no. And he goes around the table like, do you get skid marks? Okay, be honest. And I was like, no, I haven't had skid marks since I was 9 years
old. Well,
you're
old. On goes, the bidet life now. So
what's that?
That's right, especially right. You're clean.
Yeah, you're
yeah.
Yeah. Out.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh yeah, yeah. So yeah, he thinks that everyone gets skid marks all the time. And I'm like, he doesn't believe when people say we don't get them, he thinks we're being like hoity toity, like, ooh, I don't get skid marks. Like, but
yeah,
no,
the
I don't
elite,
I
the
don't
elite
get skid
privileged
marks.
Yeah.
Of wiping listen, your ass.
I just listen, clean my asshole when I shit.
Your dad is not from this planet.
No,
it's just,
you don't know
that's
that half
what it is. Okay.
You really but don't know the half.
Once you get past that, you're fine.
It's remarkable that you turned out okay, Dan. I really
that's the biggest surprise
you
out of everything, and we don't say it enough. So
thank you.
Thank you, Austin. Thank you. You're right.
You can learn a lot from parents and stuff, what to do and what not to do. I mean, I've learned a lot of good things. A lot of yes. The stories I tell about him are the funny, what the fuck is wrong with you things. But no, he's I'm going to Boston with him in like 2 weeks for his 60th birthday. We're going to go to a Red Sox game together.
Can't wait for you to make him shit again. Yeah.
At the Red Sox game?
Yeah, I do.
As
his
the
honesty,
camera cuts to him.
Oh no! You've heard about the Royals whack off blanket?
Oh
have
God!
You
do we
no,
want
Austin, what's going on?
How are you doing?
No, Kansas City Royals.
No.
Okay, no, it's not as gross as that sounds. That's actually less gross. Basically, just I used to go to Royals games with him. He would always go when you get a free thing. It was a Royals blanket thing once, and they were doing the crowd cam, right. And I started just doing act like I was whacking off onto the blanket, hoping that he would be seen on camera. And he was like, "Fucking stop doing that! Stop doing that! You gotta stop doing that!"
Okay, you're right. That's way less bad than I thought it sounded like.
No, we did not. We'll see if it happens in Boston. He is really honest, though, in that this Boston thing, it's been his lifelong dream to, like, he wants to go see a game at Fenway Park, go to Red Sox game. I could not give less of a shit about baseball. I can't name a single baseball player, seriously. And but it's his 60th birthday. Well, I mean, not current.
Like a current one.
Yeah, if they're in Ken Griffey or something, I know. So I want to do this for him because it means a ton to him. I want to take him to Boston. I bought the tickets and all that. We're going to see each other in a couple weeks. I'm very excited. And I knew what the answer was going to be, but I asked him. I was like, hey, Dad, just curious. You know, I'm doing this for you for your birthday. I know it means a lot to you, and I'm just happy to be there, even though I'm not into baseball. It's not my thing. I actually find it really boring. Just curious. Let's say for my 40th, if I said, you know, it would mean a lot to me if you'd go with me to WrestleMania. And he just goes, oh, absolutely not.
I bet he would.
No, he fucking wouldn't.
No,
you don't think so?
No, he
would. Absolutely not. No chance in hell.
He might go on the trip, but he's not going to WrestleMania. Like, if you were like, and we can go to some bars.
He'd be mad even being around fans. He told me a few years ago, he's like, you know, I would pay $10,000 for real if you would just promise me you'd never watch wrestling again.
Does he really just not like wrestling?
Jesus.
No,
he gets
irrationally angry about wrestling.
But, Abby, the problem is you haven't been annoying him about wrestling for 30 years.
Time to start. Buckle up, Paul. Call me up soon.
This is crazy. I didn't know that, Dan. I didn't know your dad hates wrestling.
Oh, God. And I said, like, wait, Dad, you would pay $10,000 for your son to take away something that brings him a lot of joy? And he's like, absolutely. It's just too fucking stupid. It's just absolutely too dumb. Like, he irrationally hates it. Like, you know, I don't like baseball, but I just don't ever think about it, you know?
Right. Sure, it doesn't impact your life.
He hates wrestling because it masquerades as sport. And so that's why whenever something incredibly stupid is happening in wrestling, my joke to Bianca is always like, oh, I hate that this masquerades as sport. when Brock Lesnar is tipping the ring over with a fucking tractor, it's like, oh, this is masquerading as sport, you know?
What a strange position to take.
He thinks it's a 1920s position. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's
disrespecting the sanctity of athletic events.
I believe Gatsby believes this also.
strange.
Is he just mad because they're wearing very slim underwear and they don't get skid marks?
Oh God!
There you go.
They think they're better than us.
Yeah, look how fake that is. Those guys would be. It would be up and down, fucking Fast and Furious road mark, tire marks all up and down that guy's ass.
I promise you, there's shit all over their tires.
You can't jump off the top rope and not leave a splatter.
That's just so. Picture of the repo man and say, hey, Dad, it's you. He had tire treads all over his costume.
We're just making your dad Alex Jones for some reason.
No, he would hate that.
Austin, how are you doing?
I'm all right. I don't have any good story. I'm doing the Invisalign thing. I know every time I come on here, it's dental stories, so that's just where my life is.
Wait, so you have the, you're living the Invisalign life. I can't see. Yeah, it's invisible.
Right.
Is that all day or is that just at night?
Oh, it is 22 hours a day, my friend.
Wow. 22.
You like brush like after every
snack. You brush after
and meal.
Every snack and meal. You can only drink water while they're in, which sucks because like I hope if you like having like a nice slow coffee over the course of your morning, Invisalign says no. Invisalign says you're not allowed. Yeah. 100%.
What can't you eat? Period. Like, what is a
nothing?
No,
that's
never.
All. That's fine. There's no hard limit.
I think
it's
you
just,
take them out when you eat.
You take them out when you eat. Yeah,
that's
yeah,
the
yeah.
2 hours.
Out, that's the 2 hours you get, which means you can't eat or drink anything with them in at all except for water. Or like I have these like mints that are like xylitol, which is like a pro tooth health mint. You're allowed to have those when they're in.
Okay.
And then I also have been drinking like a. alkaline water that has like a little bit of flavoring and doesn't have like any citric acid or like no sugar, nothing like that, because it'll get caught in there. It's tough. It's like it's been annoying, but compared to like I've gone through like teeth hell, and so compared to that, it's nothing. But it does feel like I'm still like in the middle of a process. Like if you've ever had to get, you know, a cavity filled or a wisdom tooth removed or a crown put in, you're like, okay, for the next week of my life, my teeth situation is going to be weird. And that's been my life for a month and a half now. And so I'm just like, I feel like I'm in the middle of an ongoing medical procedure and will be for the next year or whatever. So
is your bite off all the time?
No, my bite's fine. That? Bite's fine so far. That could get fucked up later. The thing that I heard that's the scariest thing is I have a friend who, after it's done, you get a retainer and you just live with the retainer for basically forever. She lost her retainer. She left it at a hotel room, and it, you know, it was like 3 days later or 4 days later before they could get her a new one. And they were like, okay, well, actually, before we do that, we have to put you back on Invisalign for 5 months because it,
what?
In that 4 or 5 days of not having the retainer, it all went back. It shifted 5 months.
No way.
Because this is the fucked up thing that I didn't understand. What it's doing is softening the bone in your jaw so that the teeth can move. And once they move into the good place, it takes 10 years for it to re-solidify back to where it was. So you have to have the retainer on at nights to keep it from shifting
back. Do braces do the same thing?
Yeah, I was going
to have to have a retainer after braces. Yes, 100%.
Yeah, that is, I know people have like permanent retainers.
Yeah. So they tried to give me one of those and I said, fuck no.
Oh, you should have said fuck yes. They seem so mildly invasive and so easy.
Okay, the one I had was not. It was like
the night brace?
It was the no, it was literally, it was like there was two metal things around the bottom part, like back molars, and then there was a metal bar that kind of went along the back of my bottom row of teeth.
Jesus.
And I was like, I'll do this for a little bit, but you're taking that shit out. That is not staying there. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you right now, one of my teeth did move back. The rest did not. So I'll take that.
Yeah. Well, it's like one of those things where it's like, it's made me, I feel like I could drop this at any point and just deal with it and just live. Like, I'm not doing this because I don't like my smile. I'm doing it because it's theoretically going to help keep my teeth good forever because they'll be less crowding. It'll be easier to keep them clean and stuff. And I just like, is it worth it to not be able to enjoy a cup of coffee at the pace I like to enjoy a cup of coffee? It's made me really appreciate those sorts of, or like a meal, right? Or like, okay, I have to eat quick. Like it's this meal. I went out to lunch with a friend today, and it was one of those things where it was like, okay, I have to like quickly eat this lunch, then go in the bathroom and brush my teeth, and then come back out and put them back in, and just, like, not get to, like, slowly hang out and eat in that same way. So, I'm missing that. That's the big story of my life right now, missing the little things, you
that's
know?
A big, hey, look, that's a big thing.
That's not nothing.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. Also, an important other thing, if you're thinking about getting it, look up what attachments are, which are these little resin things they put on your teeth, which, again, you can't see because of the quality of my bad webcam. But they're, like, little buttons they put on a number of your teeth that help give the Invisalign, like, added leverage to move your teeth around. And so it just looks like I have, like, I look like a Star Trek alien. Like, I got, like, weird fucking things protruding from various teeth. And
they don't put them on the inside. They're on the
outside. The okay. And they put them on some of my crowns, and those ones fell off. And that felt like I did something truly bad. Like I felt like my hand was caught in the cookie jar. I called them up. I was like, some of the buttons fell off my teeth. And they're like, it's okay. Just come on in on Thursday. And I went in and they're like, oh yeah, these all fell off the crowns. That just happened. It doesn't glue on right. Sorry. We should have told you that ahead of time.
Because oh, the like, crown's not a real tooth.
The crown's not a real tooth, so it can't then do like on. The magic resin bond shit. So I felt like an idiot. I felt like I went like a week being like, they're falling off my teeth every day. Another one falls off. Like, am I doing something wrong? And they're like, oh no, that was on us. Sorry, bud. Like, all right, cool. Oh,
teeth shit suck.
I have a tooth health question. So I think it was a Beastcast back in the day. I used to have this foolish idea where I, because like Austin,
I remember this.
Yeah, I think it definitely was a Beastcast thing. I have had tooth hell my whole life. It's ongoing. I've got some weird mystery shit going on now. Mm-hmm. And I've always thought, like, you know what? I just don't want to deal with it once I'm older and I've got some money and some insurance and stuff. I want to see if I can, if I can find
take
a dentist
all your teeth
that will
out,
just
right?
exactly implant all my teeth out and replace it with fake teeth or dentures or something like that. Yeah. And I remember you guys explaining, like, no dentist is going to do that, and that would be hell. You don't want that. And I accepted that. I was like, okay, that's a bad idea. I abandoned that dream.
But
then, so SummerSlam 2021.
Roman Reigns always wrestling. It's always somehow comes back to wrestling.
Or no, 2020. Roman Reigns comes back and he's got new teeth.
Right.
And they're noticeably, they're just like new teeth.
Veneers,
Dan.
Veneers.
Exactly. And I was like, what's going on with this? And then they were veneered. Exactly. And so I was like, what are veneers? Yeah. And then it sounds fucked up where it's like they grind down all of your teeth to nubs, but then they put like fake shit over it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care about the cosmetic element of it, but is there, like, if I got that, if I went into a dentist and waved money around and said, make all my teeth veneers, then do I not have to worry about dental health the rest of my life?
No, you still do. Yeah, I have a veneer. It's just like a normal tooth, essentially.
The teeth, the problem with your teeth is under the gums, presumably, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's where most of your tooth is. It's under the gums. It's like that root-looking, you know, claw
thing. I've seen Ren and Stimpy. It's the nerve endings,
It's also... Brushing your teeth gets rid of the plaque, so even if you have a mouthful of veneers, the plaque will still stick to the veneers, and you'll
I have the pain. I just don't want the pain.
You could still get an infection in your gum.
What kind of tooth? Like, what's going on, man?
Can you get just all the nerves removed?
No.
Like a root canal on your tooth?
I mean, like, could you pay a weird super scientist to replace your teeth with,
like
jaws?
The fucking Dr. Nick Riviera of dentists.
But why would that be the case? Why wouldn't, like, a legitimate dentist just be like, oh, here's a procedure where you'll never have dental pain again? If it's possible by removing all the nerve endings.
I guess presumably you could remove all of your nerves, like do a root canal and not replace the tooth and then just get dentures. No, well, dude, that is, you also are not prepared for, like, the oral trauma that would be inflicted on you. Like, that is not a thing that you just do and, like, take a month to get over.
I should say really quick, this does happen because people have severe, like, tooth loss trauma.
Totally.
Through car accidents or, like, drug use where, like,
that's like reconstructive surgery, right?
Can I get that?
I mean, like, the thing is, like, the answer to this is yes, you could, but there are decent reasons, as I understand them, to not go down that path that are about long-term mouth care and about like the quality of your chin line and your jaw and all that other shit. Like, the fact that we have mouths that work at all is, you know, depending on your belief system, a miracle or an incredible feat of evolutionary science. And the second you start fucking around with that stuff, I'll put it this way. So here's the thing: is I will always have my lower wisdom teeth. They cannot move. They're too afraid to go in and dig them out because they might fucking hit a nerve that means that I will never be able to feel my face again. Right.
Jesus.
So all that stuff is very. It's not as simple as not just pull them out. There's always a risk level, and it's rare that risk level is higher or is lower than the cost of brushing your teeth a couple times a day.
I brush my teeth. I'm not, like, gross.
Nerves are also there for a reason. Like, they help let you know if, like, you bumped something, you hurt something. Like, pain is a signal for a reason. It's a helpful thing.
You are seeking, like, a deeply irrational solution to... You know, something that's just kind of
a legitimate problem.
You.
But I understand why you would think this way.
That the technology in medicine is there to remove pain, and I can't just go in and get it done.
But not at the level that you're talking about, with the level of, like, safety and general, like, you know, just ease that you are talking about here. What you are talking about is effectively the cyberpunk dentistry. Like, the part where they just straight up replace your jaw with cybernetics, which we're not there yet.
And I've always said, if there was a thing where I could just keep my brain and replace everything that hurts with robot parts and stuff, I'd be the first person in line to be like, yeah, fucking do it. Give me all the robot parts.
My 8-year-old said the same thing today. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
just wait. I want to take you up on that for a second. So would you really be the first person in line? Because then, like, if I said I've got
Paul
it,
would be, and you'd be number two.
You at least want to be the second person in line to see the first
person.
You
want to make sure that takes.
Yeah. Walk out of
that's
it.
Fair.
You don't want to go to the person like the Lucy at the stall with the sign that says, like, I could take your brain and put it in a body. Yeah, sign me up. Here's a quarter.
Do I get it free if I'm the first?
Yes.
That helps.
I think that's just called murder at that point.
You really want to be an early adopter?
No, because like it seems like all the early stuff, like the early self-driving cars are just running around killing people. Like, I don't really want to be the first robot guy.
It could be your brain in that car, though. So who knows?
Can I be tried in a court of law if that happens? Like, maybe not the first. Then maybe I'll be number 50 or 60.
This is Present Day Vinny again. We'll be back with more Never Been a Better Podcast after this quick break. This week's show is brought to you by Factor. Alex and Brad, I don't know about you, but I could guess that your schedules this summer maybe have gotten a little out of whack in terms of your basic routines.
Oh, definitely.
For me, I have basically, what do they say when the train is normally on its route and then goes careening off the rails, I believe.
I believe off the rails is the term.
And when it comes to eating well or making good food choices, that train has not only gone off the rails, it has basically left the ground and is flying into orbit. Factor
is keeping you on the rails.
I think wants to help keep me back, get back on the rails. If you don't know what Factor is, Factor makes chef-crafted, dietitian-designed, ready-to-eat meals so you don't have to choose between real food and convenience. Brad, do you have a food convenience that you have dug into recently?
I don't know. I'm still sitting over here thinking about the food habits as train metaphor.
It's a deep one.
It's a hard one to let go of. I just want the choo-choo to go into my mouth.
There you go. Make sure you choo-choo at least 20 times before you... Okay. With over 175 banned ingredients, every Factor meal is designed around what supports a healthier lifestyle and nothing that doesn't. And I'm just going to clarify in that line. I'm going to assume they're not putting the banned ingredients in the Factor meals. I assume they have a banned list to keep them out of the meals. Factor meals are ready in 2 minutes and require no prep, no cleanup. So even on the days your schedule is completely out of control, aka off the rails, eating well is still achievable. 90% of users agree that Factor meals help them live a healthier life, so you can feel confident that you're doing something good for yourself with every meal. You can head to factormeals.com/nextlander50off. That's factormeals.com/nextlander50off and use code nextlander50off to get 50% off and one free breakfast item per box for 1 year. While supplies last until October 31st, 2026. That is code NEXTLANDER50OFF at factormeals.com/NEXTLANDER50OFF. See website for more details. Thanks, Factor. This week's show is brought to you by MSI. Alex Navarro, Brad Shoemaker. There are a couple of pieces to the PC gaming puzzle. You know, you're going to need a CPU. You're going to need that RAM. You're going to need some hard drive space. And of course, you're going to need a video card.
Oh, a graphics processing unit.
A graphics processing unit. One of the most daunting and expensive parts of putting together your gaming PC. But MSI is here to help. MSI knows that out there, the prices have gone sky high in the tech world, and they want to give you a little discount.
The tech prices are killing me, man. Please help me.
MSI will give you 10% off on their 5060s and 5070s. You know, if you're running that 1440p lifestyle, that very respectable 1440p lifestyle, I am a member of it myself.
There ain't no shame in a 1440p game.
There you go. You can take that from Brad. You contact his people. Go to us-store.msi.com and use code NEXT10 at checkout. And that's it. You're going to get 10% off any regularly priced RTX 5060 or 5070 series card. But it is only until the end of September.
and for U.S.-based Nextlander listeners only. So to get that 10% off, us-store.msi.com, use Next10 at checkout. Get your 10% off on RTX 5060 or 5070 series cards. MSI power doesn't have to cost this much. Thanks, MSI.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change. If your service light's on, trust the techs with the training.
That's us.
270 hours with zero complaining. They train under the hood. They train down in the pit. 270 hours means their training's legit. It's the smart choice for smart folk who care for their steed. So trust the Instant Oil Change that starts with Valvoline. Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Change wisely.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try a new food and suddenly it's like, wait.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try Kewpie mayo.
It's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it in the grocery store before.
And if you've ever just walked past it, some people would say that's a huge mistake.
Because this mayo is different.
Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. Kewpie only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, and almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything.
Egg sandwiches, fries, burgers. Some fans even swear by dipping pizza crust in it.
And once you notice it, you start seeing it everywhere.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Never tried it? Grab the bottle with the red cap next time you're at the store.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
Kewpie, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
Everybody I've known that has had replacement surgery or like Awesome was saying, those kind of things, they're not happy to have had that. They would rather have their real teeth. So there must be people who have dentures. I've heard them complain about cleaning dentures or pain in the neck and all of that stuff. I feel like I've known older people that are super proud to have their teeth. Like they are like, I still have my teeth and it's awesome. Cause like everybody, I think all their old friends complain about not having their teeth.
An uncle of mine has a full mouth of implants, right? So like, this does happen. That was because of bad dental trauma and because of like, oh, okay, it's bad in there. It's bad in there in a way that's like permanent, causing real problems. My real suspicion is, Dan, if you had a check for $30,000 and you wanted to go get this done,
you could get it done.
I bet you could get it done. Yeah. And we should say the other thing is like, and also, do you have 3 or 4 years for this process to fully work? Because they're going to have
to... I don't want
to
be in pain. I want to just knock me out when I wake up, I'm good.
It's not that. Because even one implant takes like months and months and months to switch from...
I also think the person you're going to find who will be willing to do it is not the dentist you're going to want to go to.
That's why I fucked up this tooth, which I regret not saving. This molar back here was in college. And I didn't have money. I didn't have insurance. And I didn't have money. And I found out that dental students would do it for cheap. And I was chewing sunflower seeds and it shattered a tooth. And I'm like, and everything hurt. And I was bleeding everywhere. And so I went to a fucking dental school. They hit me in the head with the fucking x-ray machine. They left part of the fucking root up in my gums and had to dig it out while they had their foot on the chair for leverage. And this was also in a moment where I wouldn't take any fucking drugs because I had my first panic attack during a mushroom trip in the dorms. And so I did it without any fucking like pain. Stuff or nitrous or anything. So I had a local anesthetic. Okay, I didn't have any nitrous or anything like that. They told me, they're like, hey, we can save the tooth. Like we can make that, like we can, you know, it wasn't completely gone, but it was going to cost more and I didn't have the money. And I was just take it out. It's fine. It's a tooth. I won't miss it. But like, I do think now, like,
have you talked to a dentist about getting, because you can't get an implant?
Implant's easy.
No, because the bone long. Up here, whatever, is fucked up.
They can take care of it.
I've asked like 4 or 5 dentists, and they all say it's. I don't remember, but I've walked away from every time being like, oh, I guess I can't really do that. So
really, I've had it done.
You've lost, but the thing is, if this happened to Dan in college, the bone loss is so far.
Right, this is like 20 years ago.
There,
that's exactly it. It's the bone loss thing. Yeah, so and I do regret that. I wish I would have saved the tooth.
So at some point, someone took an X-ray and was like, "There's not enough bone there." You can't.
Several
put
dentists
the,
have looked at it and been stem. Like, "There's just this is all fucked up here." So I can't.
Wow, I can't believe the actual literal horror show that happened to you with, like, you know, DIY back alley dental shit. I didn't realize.
It was like $300 instead of $800. Jesus. And I had to fucking make decisions.
And
so.
That's it for you and the dentist for a decade. You know what I mean? You get one experience like that, yeah. And you're like, why? I'm not going to trust these people to come
but
back.
I had to. Totally. I kept having problems, and I had to keep going back. So, it sucks.
So if you don't mind me asking, what currently plagues you?
I got this. I had a bunch of crowns that I had to get replaced recently, and ever since it was done, my bite was off, and so I was having severe pain all through my mouth, and I went in literally like 12, 13 times in the last couple years, and they tried to like sand stuff down, and they're like, we can't sand it down anymore. It's like, we're going to start going down into like the danger zone. So I went to three different dentists, got different opinions and everything like that. They think there might be a tiny little hole between the teeth, but when I eat warm, soft food, like if I'm eating like oatmeal, it'll sometimes just be severe sharp
That's
pain.
So weird.
And dentists have been like,
I don't
is,
like this.
They're like, we don't know what to do with that. It's usually like cold food or hard food or something like that. It's not. It's fucking like, it's just
strange.
Bodies are fucking wild. Like sometimes some shit just happens to a body and everyone's like, I don't know, bud. You're just going to be the first one to say that. You're the first one to say that. It's like, well, yeah,
And you don't want to hear that. You want to be like, oh, this is super common. This is, we got a thing for that.
You definitely don't want to hear like, hey, do you mind if I just call my colleague?
Like, hey, can we write a paper about you?
Exactly. Oh, this is Reichert syndrome.
Oh, great. That's right. Excellent. Never seen this before.
No, that involves underwear and skid marks.
That's dental horror stories continue here on Never Been a Better Podcast. But so Austin, about a year of Invisalign.
No one knows. Is the actual
no one knows.
Okay. I'm on tray number 3 of 17. They're 2 week trays, 2 week like in the liners are sometimes called trays. The actual Invisaligners. But at the end of that 17th tray, which I guess is 34 weeks. They're going to reevaluate, and then it could be like, oh yeah, awesome, you're good. Or it could be, we're going to just do that whole thing again, and we'll see. So,
do they give you, speaking of technology, when they go in, do they give you like, here's a model of what we think it'll look like when you're done? Do they like mock up something?
They did not show me that. Because and I wonder if I had pushed for it, if they would have shown, because they already have all of the, they have them in the office.
Yeah.
They could give them all to me, you know, if I... Mm-hmm. I don't think they would, but if I raided the dentist, I could find all of my Invisalign.
Like you could try and fit 17 in now to see like what it would be different.
Definitely
like,
wouldn't work.
Yeah, right.
I think if I went to try the like 2 from now, it wouldn't fit in. You know, I have no idea what it looked like. The process of getting scanned for it was also really weird. They put like a laser gun in there. They put like a big weird like ray gun scanner with like, Dan, I don't know if you've ever had this thing. It's like it looks like a gun, but like made of like gray beige plastic with like a big camera on the end. And we're going to put this whole thing in your mouth and just spin it around slowly for 5 minutes as we do like a scan of your entire mouth. Like you're putting me in a Hideo Kojima game.
That seems better than that goo you got to bite into. Yeah, God, I fucking hate that stuff.
Sucks. But
no, it's not even for it. It's like this, stuff. Like, it's molding. So you just have to sit there for like 20 minutes and not gag.
And then
it's
always
horrible.
Like sticks to it too. Like they're just like, it's like thunks. It's like they're putting like, silly putty in your mouth and you're chewing.
That shit is like torture because I have a pretty bad gag reflex. So like 1 minute of that and I'm just like, I'm choking.
Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah,
I hate the camera stuff where like they'll have the live view like a screen that they bring around and they're like, here's where you're all fucked up and like super close up high res things of like my gums that hurt.
Can I tell you
something?
I don't
want to fucking see this.
I love it. It is so much more calming to me to see exactly what they're doing than to hear the laser beam sound of the drill and imagine something worse. Because if I can just see. There, you know, there was a moment the other day when the person was buffing something with like a thing that sounded like a drill, but it was just like a little padded brush thing that they were spinning rapidly to buff something down, and seeing it in the reflection of her glasses, which I guess maybe would have been weird for her. Like I'm just making intense eye contact.
I used to do that all the time. I had to make an active choice to stop because as a child I would just like. For years and years, I would just look into the glasses the entire time I had my teeth getting fixed. And I was like, oh, I'm just staring into the dentist's eyes the whole time.
Yeah, that's deeply disturbing. Yeah.
What are you doing up there? The one that kills me is when, like, in the middle of doing teeth stuff, someone, I told you one of these stories about someone talking about their podcast choice, but just anytime someone's like trying to have a conversation with me, I'm like, what is this dynamic you're pursuing?
Haven't you been doing this long enough?
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here?
This is
like,
my power trip. I need this.
I think
this.
It is. I think it's a power trip. I think it's like, you can't say a word. All you can do is nod, you know?
Austin, I love that you want to be like informed and knowledgeable about what's happening and you want to see it. And I want to be like nitrous into oblivion and completely ignorant.
I mean,
like,
I would take that too. Totally this is the different. Thing. If it, I, what I don't like is the middle ground. I'd be happy to be nitrous into oblivion and not know at all. But if I have to know a little bit, my mind will fill in the gap with the worst possible version of it.
Sure.
So I either need to be completely annihilated or I need complete perfect information. The middle ground is a nightmare zone for me.
Well, that's I guess legally in Connecticut, they say that with the nitrous, it's like, well, legally we can only put you to like 60% on this thing. And like, so it's a dicey thing because I'm always trying to talk and be like, yeah, but I mean, like, if you want to be a little heavy on the pedal, you know, like, go ahead.
It's cool.
And, like, and some of them will be like, oh, yeah, no, don't worry. We'll take care of you. And so it's like, are we talking in code here?
Oh,
like,
God.
Do we have to, like, I'm telling you to fuck me up more, and you're telling me, yeah, we'll fuck you up more. Okay, cool. We're cool.
All right. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Like, if you don't do it there, they know you're just going to go find some guy with a van who's going to sell you some whippets, and that's going to be fucking how you're going to, like, you're going to home anesthetize yourself.
I brought my own guy, Jack here. Jack here's going to
bring your own.
So.
Two pallets of whipped cream.
You can hire outside anesthetists to come in, and like, they don't work at the place, but like, there are like
is that what we're calling drug dealers these days?
Yeah.
What are they, like, for hire, like bounty anesthetist or whatever?
Yes, dog the anesthetist.
You can go to like a normal dentist and arrive with like, here's my guy Bruce, he's the anesthetist, and like they talk and they will work together on it. You just, it costs a ton of money and insurance doesn't usually cover it. I've done a lot of research into
clearly.
Also, isn't it anesthesiology? Like, are we saying the wrong thing?
Yeah, we're saying the wrong word.
Certainly. Yeah.
Oh, wait. Is anesthetist not the.
It's not a word.
Wait, what?
Is that a word?
I thought anesthetist.
Anesthesiologist.
The guy with the sleepy shot. You know what we're talking about.
Yes.
No,
they're
look.
Both words. Anesthetist.
Are
also
they?
A word.
Oh, that's I didn't know the latter. The one that I thought we were describing is the person who will like put you to sleep before surgery.
That is what I want.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
I want that guy to follow me around like the nuclear football guy. Like, anytime something shows up that I don't want to deal with, be like, yeah, just hit me. You know, just
honestly, I'll say this.
Yeah,
I've been campaigning for this as long as I can remember. If I could do that to get on a flight, I think I would.
Would you?
100%.
Yep. I think I would. It's like the fifth element. Where, you know, they just sort of put Bruce Willis to bed in those little like roller chambers there. And I think, I mean, look, I just had surgery. I was knocked out and you wake up and it's not great. I'm aware that the hangover is bad and you feel shitty for longer than you are put to sleep.
Yeah. It seems terrible. That anesthesia part seems terrible. I'm scared.
Oh, it's so worth it.
It's not
so
fun,
it.
You know, but. But maybe we figure out a way to like make the hangover, you know, not as severe.
Okay,
and
question.
We, you know,
I know before surgery, you're not supposed to like eat or drink in case, but I think that's in case
that's
you
correct.
Like vomit while you're like intubed or whatever.
Well, I wasn't intubated, but.
Well, okay. But when you're under anesthesia, do you have control of your bowels?
Skid marks all over.
It's a skid marks related issue.
Just shit and cum and piss and everything all at the same
it
time.
What part of your bowels is that?
I'm saying it all releases. It all.
This has really changed that previous story.
I see why so many people want to be surgeons.
This is the difference between an anesthetist and an anesthesiologist.
One of them sticks a little finger up there just to make sure it all comes out.
That's a good question, though, Abby. I don't know,
is that why,
like,
they do
how.
I guess?
I don't know. Maybe they want you to come in with an empty tank, so you're just like not in jeopardy of doing that.
But they don't tell you to make sure you shit this morning.
Yeah, they don't give you like laxatives.
No, they said
they?
The night before they're like don't eat anything.
Well, don't eat
right.
anything, but you
at
can
8
eat
o'clock.
Something not the night before and still have to shit the next day.
100%. But like, I don't know. Maybe it depends on like the anticipated time they believe you're going to be under, or
it could also be something. Maybe they don't want like a reaction or something in your bloodstream or something like that that could react with something.
From what I understand, it is a similar stasis of like being asleep, and most of us don't piss and shit while we
this
sleep.
This is true, but I'm just curious because it's not the same. Okay. Also, did y'all know that redheads need more anesthesia.
Yes, really? I did know that.
It's fucked up. Like, wait. 10% more or something.
10%?
Like local that's a, and general?
That's significant.
I don't know, for when you're going under.
Wait, they for have real? To,
yes.
Yes. There's something about the genetic
And their pain tolerance
quirk.
Is different. Isn't
that
fucked
amazing.
Up?
That's wait, fucked up.
That mean they feel more pain generally? Like, because they need more remember. Anesthesia?
But that I know that they need more anesthesia to go under.
That's weird, because as you know, I'm now a bald man.
Oh, wow.
And I don't think that means you're not a redhead anymore if you lose your hair.
Wait, were you a red? You weren't a redhead, were you?
No, I was more like a daywalker kind of guy.
Okay.
Not like a gingy, full-blown gingy.
Okay. Yeah.
What the hell's a
I don't
daywalker?
Think that's the preferred nomenclature, dude.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm allowed to say what it is. All right,
no, you're bald now, so you can't.
That's yeah, true. I mean, how do we know?
That's you true. I did.
Your card.
I did. Yeah, I did kiss that goodbye. Yeah, no, I wonder. That's interesting you're because changing. Someone who is redheaded, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how do they know if they're a completely
maybe
bald
they can
person?
Tell if you're by like heart rate or something if you've gone under and be like, oh, I gotta crank this one up. They're bald, but they got the red in them.
Okay, this balls, is he's a real redhead.
Yeah. I have a list here.
Oh, here okay. we go.
Here's what, and this is according to UCIHealth.org. So who the hell knows?
Yeah, that's not shady.
Here's what studies have revealed about redheads in pain. One, they need about 20% more anesthesia damn, to be sedated. They also need more local topical anesthetics, such as lidocaine and novocaine, which is why many of them have fear of dentists, according to the ADA, the American sense. Dentistry Association.
I got my root canal done, and they didn't give me enough.
They need lower doses of pain-killing analgesics like opioids, so you need less pain medicine. They detect changes in hot and cold temperatures. They easily detect changes in hot and cold temperatures. Is that true
sure,
for you?
Sure, step outside, I go, it's hot.
Remember that? Remember when we're in the office? You always,
I was always
like,
cold.
Yeah.
I gotta say, you're describing myself as
and
well.
They may be less sensitive to electric shock, needle pricks, and stinging pain on the skin.
All right, I'm coming out there. I'm bringing my defibrillator. Let's see what happens.
See, look, all those tattoos. She had no idea.
No idea they even happened.
Yeah, I just fell asleep and I woke up and I was like, oh shit.
That I wonder wild? What like gene is attached to like hair color that
I
is
don't know.
Making that happen.
How does that work? Where it's like, so my mom has red hair,
right?
And she's my mom, so we share
it's
genetic
a recessive
material.
Trait.
So do I get any of that? Even though I don't
do
have,
you
red
have
hair?
A red, do you have no, red hair?
50-50 chance on that one.
Actually, in the red hair, the
it
red.
Depends on your biological father and mother, and it's a recessive.
My biological
trait, as far
mother
as
has red hair, so do I have
right?
Red
so I believe you. Yeah, I believe if they are both that,
okay.
then it's 50%, I think. What it's like the capital R, little lower.
Yeah, let me
right
do my
down.
Punnett square. Hold on.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
Present day Vinny here again for one final ad break before we wrap up the show. I hope you're enjoying it. Never been a better podcast. We'll be back right after this.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change. If your service light's on, trust the techs with the training.
That's us.
270 hours with zero complaining. They train under the hood. They train down in the pit. 270 hours means their training's legit. It's the smart choice for smart folk who care for their steed. So trust the instant oil change that starts with Valvoline. Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Change wisely.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try a new food and suddenly it's like, wait.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try Kewpie mayo.
It's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it in the grocery store before.
And if you've ever just walked past it, some people would say that's a huge mistake.
Because this mayo is different.
Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. Kewpie only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, and almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything.
Egg sandwiches, fries, burgers. Some fans even swear by dipping pizza crust in it.
And once you notice it, you start seeing it everywhere.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Never tried it? Grab the bottle with the red cap next time you're at the store.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
Kewpie, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
Okay, I'm going to go back to anesthesia, can I?
Yeah.
Okay. I've never been under, but I will have to eventually.
Sure.
And I've seen studies that I find terrifying where they put people under anesthesia, but not the body numbing stuff. And they had them do small tasks and they could perform all the tasks and be responsive. But at the end of it, they just remembered nothing. So do you live through the surgery and then it's wake like up and we're like, whatever?
No.
Nothing happened.
Severance.
Yeah.
I've never seen Severance.
No, as someone who just recently went through it, you don't remember anything.
But
no,
if you, but how would you feel if Jeff, while under, felt and experienced the whole thing and then you just woke up?
You would never know. It'd be fine.
But I would have to still go through the torture. There's a part of me that would still have to deal with that for like 4 hours.
But you have the feeling of it.
But like, if you don't have a memory, does it not happen?
This is the Severance. It is the Severance thing.
I've never seen Severance.
Severance.
Oh. I would do the Severance thing. I would sign up for the Severance
You would
thing.
Do the Severance? Your takeaway from Severance was I would do the Severance thing?
Well, hang on. Hang on.
The basic premise of Severance is that there is a technology that exists in the world of the show that is pioneered by this one corporation where basically they hire people and they come in as part of their job. They do a particular surgery on those people. So when they come to work at that company, basically what happens is the 8 hours they are there at work, their consciousness while they are at work is completely separate from the person that is not at work. So when they go to work, they're basically just lose 8 hours of their day and don't realize, or they know it, but like they don't know what they did while they were there.
They don't know who they work with. They don't know what they do.
That sounds terrible.
And the person there, that's their whole life.
Yes, and the person on the inside who is working, all they know is the office.
Yeah, so that version of them is like they go to leave the office and they're just coming back in the next day. So
there is no.
But you could be the Audi.
Dan, because I don't want to torture another person. And you, because I value the time I do at work.
Yes.
I like the work. Right. I like the work I do.
I like working too, but I'm in a world where I just needed to do some mundane job just
because
to pay
I don't
bills.
Want
to
do. I mean, this is the metaphor of it all, right? Is like the metaphor of Severance is it's like, I'm sorry to tell you, it's capitalism, baby.
We
are all benefiting from people who are doing work for us that we get to close our eyes and pretend that just because they suffer, we just don't, it didn't happen. I wouldn't,
if
I had the choice.
If you don't feel it, if you don't even know it exists.
Okay, well, what we're not talking about, though, is like you can have a mundane job for 8 hours and still fucking shoot the shit with your coworkers.
That's true.
Have
that's
a little
true.
Snacky snack that
yes,
you
that's
like.
A good, yes,
you
that's
can
the
live
other
a life.
Thing that show
it's
is about.
Contrast to the other parts of your life.
Totally.
That's a huge portion of your life you're getting rid of.
That's a good point. Every shitty job I had before, like, and I had a million registered jobs and just shitty jobs.
Yes.
You remember McDonald's
you
and
still
Buckle
have those
and
good memories.
Yeah,
you
still have a lot things. Of good memories. That's I never thought of it that way. It's not just like work.
What if I could choose to make you work for me for 8 hours a day?
Yeah,
and I get to nap. Should I do that? You do
that
8 hours
fair.
Of work a day,
that
and I get the money from it.
Well, you
and
don't remember the 8 hours,
Dan. The whole thing is about unfairness.
Yeah. What if when I went to sleep, you went to work for me?
And I don't know about it?
Yeah, you're doing work, and I'm getting that money. You don't even know what money is in this scenario.
But you just
want to
be the Audi, though, right, Dan? You said the
Audi.
He
doesn't want to be the
Audi. I'm explaining why I wouldn't do it even if I was the Audi, because I don't want to make you be my slave.
Right. Yes. Right. I mean, that's the other thing. Is like, I mean, if you've watched the show, I don't want to give any spoilers away
here. This is the premise.
Let's just say that things don't seem to be that great if the innie wants to get out of the situation.
But I don't even know that guy.
Yes, you do.
It's you.
It's you.
But I don't have to talk to it and see its misery.
He's already on board.
The dehumanization has begun.
You're actually qualified to be a manager at this place, I believe.
You just got promoted.
You're the one bringing in the music for everyone to dance to.
So Abby got me with the thing where it's like, oh, right, I've worked a billion shitty jobs. Yeah. And like you find fun
that's
there.
A really good
it's not all
just.
It's
like, oh, there's waffle parties. It's great.
They made popcorn for us all the time at Giant Bomb. It was awesome.
Yeah. All right. I won't do the Severance thing. All right. You guys talk about it.
Anyway, I don't want to have any part of me have to experience surgery.
To go back to your
that
thing.
Is one of my deepest fears is the idea of waking up in during anesthesia. And I was actually going to ask, is it actually true that also, like, if you smoke a lot of weed, you have to tell the anesthesiologist because they also have to change the dose based on that?
Oh, I don't know. My understanding is they ask you to stop smoking 6 weeks before your surgery.
Something like that.
Oh my God. I didn't hear any of that.
They've asked me about if I smoke weed, but they've never been like, when was the last time? Or anything. They'll ask how often or how often do you drink and stuff like that. But not like, oh, you know, stay away for a couple weeks.
My understanding is that sometimes people who are smoke a decent amount of marijuana, like they have to use a different dose on them.
What the fuck? No one asked me that, and I look like I'm stoned all the time.
They didn't want to assume.
They were probably like, Aaliyah, look, he's not a redhead. We're good. And then,
I'm a redhead, doesn't smoke weed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I volunteered information, too, the morning of, because I had played hockey the night before.
And you're like, my team won. Yeah,
and they're like, good for you. No anesthesia for you. I felt compelled to admit that I fell during my game and hit my head really hard. It was bad. And I didn't get knocked unconscious. I didn't black out.
We've told this story. Are you sure you didn't get knocked unconscious?
Mm-hmm. I know. Did I tell it here?
Yeah, I think you told it on the last podcast you and me were on.
So I disclosed that up front. I was like, yo, this is what happened. And they were like, you're fine. As long as you didn't piss out, you're fine. But he didn't ask me about weed, and now, you know,
well, you didn't wake up, did you?
Not that I'm aware of.
Well, maybe you did, you don't remember.
How would you feel, though?
If you woke up during surgery, I'd be pissed off and also terrified.
But you know what? I bet you there's so much like numbing agents in the area that they're working on. I assumed, like, the thing I had done, I thought I was going to be awake for.
Right.
Oh. And they only told me, like, the night before that I was going to be put under. Wow.
There is no surgery I want that I would not want to be under for. Doesn't
right.
exist.
I've been put under numerous times, and seriously, Abby, it's like, it is time travel. You feel no pain. I literally, if I had to get an operation where they said, we're going to fucking take your head off and play basketball with it for an hour and put it back on, and if I was put under, I'd be like, fucking whatever. I don't care. Like, honestly,
Duncan.
No worries at all.
Well, Duncan. Dan, you sound like you qualify for the study I'm working on, actually. Yeah, that's right.
And Abby, the truth of the matter is, like, it's not this, like, instantaneous, like, lights off thing. You get fucked up.
Right?
You get fucked up. You're hot. Right,
you
and
get
you're
fucked up
slowly
pretty
getting
you go
high.
Under pretty quick.
I was under pretty quick
but,
when I went.
But you feel high before it. Like you definitely feel fucked up.
I did the like count back from 20, and I just, as soon as they said count back, I don't remember anything from then telling me to count back from 20.
Wow. See, I didn't even get like massive dose of it. The only time I ever had it was when I had my wisdom teeth pulled, and it was it was just enough to put me out for a little bit. And like all I remember is the guy saying, "All right, count down from 10." I remember 9 and nothing.
Yeah,
that's
kind of for me. Yeah.
Yep.
Damn.
I mean, it is scary. Like I understand. Like it's a scary notion. Yeah. I don't like thinking about it. I think what you're the feelings you're having are normal.
Abby,
it's
have
a
you
weird
been,
unnatural thing.
Like drunk or high enough that you lost time. Where you're like,
I've
I'm
never
in a different
blacked
place.
Out. Never.
Okay. I've only blacked out once, and it's like was the strangest experience I've ever
it
had.
Seems horrifying.
That
it's
is way
terrifying
more terrifying though than like
it's
a medical
terrifying.
Thing where it's like I've been laying in this chair.
I mean, I don't trust doctors is the problem. As much as I trust medicine and science, and I am a believer in all of that. Individual. I had roommates who
were
in medical school before. I don't trust doctors.
Oh, God.
But the way it's way scary. I think the last time and one of the only times in recent memory since college I blacked out was Abby. Remember the Buffalo Wild Wings packs?
Of course. I was telling someone about it yesterday.
Yep.
How could you forget?
That pack comes up a lot.
That was the last time I think I blacked out. And I was never a frequent blacker outer, but like when you hear that, like, you were running away, you're running around, you were doing
do
all sorts of stuff. It's like, what the fuck
out.
Was I doing?
I do
like, that is
that.
A.
I think
terrifying.
If it makes you feel better, I think you just kept talking about how much you loved your wife.
You did. It was so cute. It was so adorable.
That's
you were the drunkest I've ever seen a person. And the thing that you need to know from my side is I have just had the strangest night possible. Abby, you may have been there for some of it. There was like almost a fight at one point at the bar the hotel bar we were at. There was a whole situation with someone who was like trying to ask me out in the worst way possible. I'd had like a very strange night, and then you like wandered in to it. More drunk than I've ever seen a person be, talking about how much you love your wife and how sorry you are that like you're as drunk as you are and that you're making everybody take care of you and oh my God, Bianca would be so upset if she saw you. And you were in warm drunk mode, not a mean drunk mode.
I'm glad to hear that because like I always do feel like whenever it's like you hear about like, oh, Mel Gibson said he got racist because he was drunk. It's like, no, you are racist and you got drunk and it came out.
Drunk words are sober thoughts.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm happy to hear that when I am like out, literally out of my mind drunk, I'm just like the stuff that I am thinking anyway. It's like, oh, Bianca's great. You know?
Dan, do you remember San Antonio?
Oh, no.
This is a variation on a theme here, but like this is before you met Bianca. This was like the first Pack South that we all went to.
We went out with Dave Lang and got a bunch of margaritas, and I do remember the night wound up I danced, which I never do, and then I wound up at the Alamo, and I also found a wax museum that had wax figures of John Cena and The Undertaker. So I went to a wax museum, went to the Alamo, and danced, and was informed.
Do you remember
of all
any
this
of it
day.
Though?
Not really.
Do you remember the part?
I don't say that in like a private. Like I love drinking and stuff like that, I do not advocate. Like don't drink to the point of blacking out.
This was a long time ago. You don't really do this anymore.
This is literally like 2014, 2015.
Yeah. The reason I mention it is because you did your version of the "I love my wife." You know, but you were single at this time. You weren't with anyone. And I remember you danced with those ladies on the dance floor at this bar. And when you came back to the table, you were just like, I just want to dance with pretty ladies.
Over and over again.
I mean, is that
it wasn't anything lewd.
It wasn't anything nasty. It was literally just like, I love dancing with the pretty ladies.
You know what? That sounds like a fun time for a 25-year-old single
happy.
Guy.
Oh, my gosh.
I wish I've... was around to see you like that at one point.
Well, that was the thing is I was always so self-conscious, like in college and beyond, if like when I was single, like I saw so many dudes at that age, you gotta go up, you gotta go up to girls, and you gotta wear this stuff, and you got a peacock, and you gotta go up, and you gotta be confident, you gotta be like the whole like pickup artist shit, like all that shit. I hated that shit so much, and I never wanted to be that guy. So it's like, I also wanted to like meet girls when I was single. So it's like, I would just need to get drunk enough to where it's like, oh, if a girl started talking to me, I could, you know, not just have a panic attack and I could keep a conversation going. Or if a girl wanted to dance with me, like in San Antonio, I could reciprocate. But like, I could never, ever just like approach a girl at a bar because I was so worried of being that guy.
I'm like surprised that you were so uncomfortable talking to women.
Because it was more because I just hated the dudes that were shitty about stuff. Okay. And I didn't want to be that guy. And so, that's where it came from.
I don't want to bother anybody. I don't want to ruin anybody's night.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I would see so many guys approach girls, and you could just see girls the second they get approached at the bar, be like, oh, here we go. Here's the part where they say this, and here's the part where they neg me or whatever. And it's just like, ah, fuck. And I just never wanted to be that dude. So I just could never approach anyone ever, ever, ever. So
Is there a thing? I've been off the scene for a while. So like, is there an unspoken rule where you cannot film somebody coming up to like, do that to you and then like post it to TikTok or something, when you're at a bar? Yeah. Like if I was like, I'm imagining Dan, like, you know, like coming up kind of drunk and I'm like the woman and I've just got my phone ready to go in my hand being like, hi, and he's like,
first of all, if I'm a guy and on the receiving end of that behavior, I'm like, never mind.
I could definitely just be like, I'm sure everybody has their phone out anyway, right? So like, you just have your phone out and you're just
gonna in college, smartphones were not a thing.
We're not a thing. Well, that's what I'm saying.
He's talking about now.
Is that just like, that's not cool, don't post that?
That's not a thing that anyone has an urge to do, I think.
And I think that
if you're getting harassed, maybe you would pull out your phone, but I think more likely you would just be like, go away.
I was thinking more on the end of like, I also had a lot of trouble talking to people, and if I thought that I was being a complete like knob talking to somebody, it would immediately get posted to the internet and be like, look at this fucking lame ass come up to me and do a thing.
There's definitely no shortage of content on TikTok and elsewhere where it's just people posting videos and photos of other people with narratives that could be extremely true or extremely out of context. It's impossible to tell sometimes. That's kind of the world we just live in now.
Well, this like the like constant visual culture thing brings me back to the dentist, which is I went to the dentist to get the buttons put back on my teeth, and when I got there was a guy there who's like talking with the owner of the dentist, who I don't think was like, it's a guy I've never dealt with. Like, it's not my dentist. I've never dealt with this guy, but it's clear that he was like the guy in charge of the building, right? And the guy was talking to him in a very like, it was great, yeah. And then they started moving furniture around, and they set up like a chair for him to sit in, and then they started filming him, and it became clear this was some sort of influencer who was giving them like a review for Instagram or whatever. Mm. And the idea of being like, this is like a mid-tier influencer from Hawaii. It came up in conversation that he was like here for a week and then he had to go back to Hawaii and they like did something for him briefly. Like, I don't know, they filled in for his, and he was like, yeah, like, and they did a great job, everybody. I think if you're in Queens, you should go to this dentist. And it was the most, I'm like sitting there waiting to be called in. I was like, oh, right, oh, this is God. The world we live in, is the world of dentistry influencer promos.
Would you trade it for the
no?
You wouldn't do a spot for the 17 racks, the 17 trays.
For 17 racks, I mean,
dental care is fucking expensive.
Yeah,
and being a dentist, when you're like, yo, I fucking love this dentist. I love my dentist.
I'm doing a heartbeat. Yeah,
yeah, are you kidding
I don't know.
Me?
This is like a weird thing to say on with this group, but like, I don't like being on film. Like, I know we did that professionally for years.
I don't either, but you know what I hate more than being on film?
Yeah.
Dentists. Paying for the dentist. Yeah. I actually don't mind being on film, but that being said, I don't like promoting shit, I guess.
I don't like promoting shit. Yeah. I don't like being on camera. If I was 20 years younger, I don't know that I'd make it. Like, through this era of everything is video is brutal to me. The idea of being a teen and like, the nice thing about the computer when I was a teenager was, like, I got to hide behind words, which were a thing I understood and how to use and hide behind and use in, like, ways to, like, find, you know, subcultures that I wanted to be part of. If I had to be out there doing fucking TikTok dances, I'm done for. I'm, like, absolutely not. Like,
yeah, no good.
So, a lot of people get famous without doing TikTok dances, I'll say.
Yeah,
are there people on TikTok that, like, could you be, let's say you wanted to be the, like, intellectual games analysis guy on TikTok. Is that app conducive? Do people exist on TikTok?
Those people exist. I think that the way the form makes you comport yourself makes you do the work worse. In the way that, like, you know how, like, YouTube video game criticism is, like, 5-hour-long videos that are, like, digging into every app, and maybe you don't know this, but like video game criticism on YouTube is like 5-hour-long videos that are supposed to be like super comprehensive. And I think that's a bad way to do video game criticism. I think you should have a thesis and argue for the thesis and support the thesis and then get the fuck out because people have other things to do with their day than watch a 5-hour video. But people on YouTube like a 5-hour YouTube crit video. And so that's what people make. And I think it's the same thing on TikTok. They're like making a TikTok video means doing it a certain like cadence, producing the making the like the video look a certain way. So you find like a lot of TikTok videos where there's like constantly something happening on the bottom half of the screen nonstop to keep it to keep your attention on it so you don't just scroll to the next thing.
Like what's happening down there?
Sometimes it is just random mobile games we'll be playing while someone is explaining.
Oh my god, that's
like,
just so weird.
Gameplay footage?
I'm not talking about video game videos. I'm talking about someone explaining a new law that's been passed, and then the bottom half is the strangest mobile game you've ever seen in your
life. What I will say is that is a very specific corner of TikTok. There is a lot of really interesting, informative TikTok channels that are like history and
I don't like them. I don't like the form.
Your algorithm's fucked.
It's like saying that, like, I think the soup is too spicy. Like, I think that the format is not good for what it is.
How fucking dare you?
Yeah, and it's not, not like me saying, don't do it. Or, like, I think if you're trying to break in right now, absolutely go do it. That is the place to be.
I guess what I'm saying is that I think you can break in without having to do an infinite rudder info dump. I think that there are a lot of people who are making more interesting content on TikTok.
You're 100% right.
I also think if you're going to TikTok to get real information, you're going to TikTok for the wrong reasons. You go to TikTok to watch a baby stumble down in a funny way. You go to TikTok to watch two cats cleaning each other. You go to TikTok to watch something funny.
I think that's true.
Or horny. I feel like horny is part of it too.
I am, thank God, not
I don't
on
see a
the
lot
horny,
of horny
side
stuff
of TikTok.
On TikTok.
No, I'm not really.
Yeah, I've seen
two things.
No,
my name's Mark Markillar.
I hate horny.
I hate horny. Can't be horny. Sorry, Dan, you were changing the subject. What were you saying?
I do think if you could wave a magic wand and tell me that I would never have to interact with someone under 30 ever again, I would say, yes, give me that.
You're crazy. What really wonderful.
How is that you've not said, a net you, positive?
You've said a number of questionable things
Come
tonight,
on.
And
could you
that's
terrorize
probably the worst.
Jeff Child, if you wave that wand.
Well, because he has a good, Because he has an ongoing feud with my child. That's
he's
why.
Way under 30. And he's an idiot. He doesn't know anything, Jeff. He's 7. What the fuck does he know? He's 8. What does he know?
I feel like we need to smash cut to Dan going, putting on like a little suit with a little briefcase and going into like a building and then walks through a door and the fucking severance beam hits him and he's just in a fucking a bunch of 20-year-olds and he's giving a conference on how to stream and stuff like that. You guys are doing great. Show me your TikToks. Oh, that's so funny. You guys are really funny.
Just put a slot machine in the corner there and he'll do gangbusters.
Yeah, you guys are doing great. And then just kind of walks back out and comes through and he's like, I'm so glad I don't remember. I'm so glad I signed up for that. Now two more weeks that I can get my whole mouth done. Abby, I love your optimism. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm gonna just say, Dan, if it were just the 30s and up, we'd be doomed. Let's just say.
Oh yeah, but I'm just saying personally, I don't want to hear from the youngsters.
You could do that. You can actively choose to not do. Like,
I don't.
I don't ever
hear from the youngsters.
I mean,
and it's great.
Abby, as the designated representative for everyone under 30, do you think you could pass a law to make sure Dan doesn't have to talk to them anymore?
I think that they have already voted to not let Dan.
All right. Good. Yeah. Good.
A law against Dan.
The people have spoken.
That's a problem. That's a big problem for what we do.
Thank you very much for joining us, Dan.
Anytime.
Austin Walker, thank you.
Always happy to be here.
Jeff Backlar, thank you. Representing the Redheads, thank you, Jeff.
You're welcome.
Alex Navarro, thank you as always. Thanks, everybody, again, for being here and lending your time. This has been Never Been a Better Podcast, once again proving you can believe everything you read on the internet. Because there has truly never been a better podcast. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you in about a month. See ya. Bye.
Real value shows up in reliability. You don't have to second guess. Like a set of Firestone all-season tires. They're designed to deliver confidence-inspiring wet weather traction and a quieter ride, no matter the road, season after season. Firestone all-season tires. For durability, you can count on. Just like people count on you. Firestone. Always dependable. Since 1900.
Hey guys, it's Ashley Canetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. My friend said this once, and I have adopted it as my own. She goes, I'm not a crunchy mom, but I'm a crispy mom. And I'm like, that is me too. Like, of course, we're going to have our junk food days. But primarily, when we're eating inside the house, I am very particular about what I buy and make for my kids. Because sometimes, you know, like, for example, they're going to eat chicken nuggets, right? They're going to eat macaroni and cheese. But I'm trying to find the best possible versions of those. And in order to do that, I use this really great app when I'm grocery shopping. It's called Wise Code. And it's basically an ultra processed food detector. All you do is scan a product to instantly see if it's ultra processed. They go beyond the label. You're able to view nutrition quality and health quality. It makes grocery shopping easy. It helps you make more informed decisions for your family. It's available on the App Store. I love, love, love it. It is exactly what a crispy mom needs. You can download Wise Code, the ultra processed food detector, on the App Store today.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with: thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.